Amendment 1 will be on the ballot on Election Day. If passed by voters, Amendment 1 would put new language into the West Virginia State Constitution to protect all West Virginians from physician-assisted suicide, mercy killing, and euthanasia. In some states, including California and Oregon, those diagnosed with terminal illness can ask a doctor for a prescription for a poisonous blend of drugs to end their lives. Amendment 1 will prevent that sort of practice from coming here to West Virginia. All national groups that seek to protect disabled persons are opposed to physician-assisted suicide. The American Medical Association has stated that doctors helping people to kill themselves is fundamentally incompatible with the physician's role as healer. States that have legalized assisted suicide have seen overall suicide rates increase. Where it is legal, some insurance companies refuse to pay for treatments to cure or extend life, but agree to pay for assisted suicide, which is less costly. If there is a fear of pain at the end of life, good palliative care and hospice are ways to provide comfort and care until a person's life ends naturally. A vote for Amendment 1 will protect all West Virginians from doctor-assisted suicide. Please vote to keep West Virginia a state where all lives are valued and protected. This message brought to you by the West Virginia Alliance for Ethical Healthcare.
Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WKMZ-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now your host, author, pastor, and teacher, Doug Joseph.
Hello and welcome. Today we want to bring you part one of a two-part series titled The Woman from Shunem. This is from a message preached by yours truly in the sanctuary of Christian Apostolic Church. But first, we have some great music from our friends Phillips, Craig, and Dean. This is the title track from their project called Restoration.
Looking at this falling race, standing in the light of grace, we can't see the shadow of a past. Building our security, truth lost its identity, but there's still time for us to get it back. If we sing hey now, hey now, 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 and take some time for self-examination. Say hey now, hey now, 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 we need to be baptized in salvation. If we sing hey the truth just fades away. It's time to put our faith to test. Let our souls be undressed. Show the world we mean what we say. When we sing a hey.
Hey now, hey now, 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 what we really need is restoration.
And now, as promised, here's part one of my message titled, The Woman from Shunem. Praise God. I'd like to ask you to turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 4. There are scholars who have pointed out parallels between the miracles of Elisha and the miracles of Jesus, among which Elisha multiplied bread to feed more people than what the food should have. Jesus did that on an even grander scale. Elisha raised the dead. Jesus also raised the dead. These kinds of parallels are drawn. I'd like to take your attention to one of those miracles that God did through Elisha, in particular where he raised the dead. And it involves a woman from a village or town, not too far to the southwest of the Sea of Galilee, called Shunem. And because she was from this village, she's referred to as Shunammite. The Woman from Shunem, that's my title tonight. If you'll read with me in 2 Kings chapter 4, beginning with verse 8. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman. Now, great woman does not mean that she was large. It means that she was wealthy. Great there doesn't have anything to do with size. It means that she was a woman of substance. And she constrained him to eat bread. Now, we'll see soon that it goes beyond the wonderful hospitality custom of the ancient Near East. At this point, it's just good old-fashioned hospitality. She constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said to her husband, by the way, her husband was up in years. She said to her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God which passeth by continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. Now it's interesting, the King James says wall. Some Bible translations indicate that the concept was they built him a chamber on their roof and made sure that it had walls. So there's something to do with walls either way. Let's make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, or Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. Now, it's interesting. Some Bible translations make it more clear, maybe, than you can see it here. But he has this conversation where she's somewhere, and he's apparently resting on the cot or bed, and they're relaying messages back and forth through his student, his protege, Gehazi. And if the room was on the roof, it kind of makes sense that if she's standing at the bottom of the stairs and Gehazi is at the top of the stairs and the man of God is in the room, that they're kind of shouting messages back and forth through Gehazi. But he says, call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, you see that? He said unto him, he's not talking straight to her. He's talking to Gehazi. Gehazi's relaying it. He said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care, or in other words, hospitality. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. And he said, what then is to be done for her? He's asking Gehazi, because she's apparently around the corner or down the stairs or something. And Gehazi answered, verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. So as much as she has in life, riches, wealth, and apparently she has need of nothing, there's a great joy in life of being a mother that she has never had. And he said, call her. Now, if he was upstairs and she was downstairs, I get the feeling that at this point, she comes on up the stairs because the Bible says that she stood in the door. He said, call her. And when he had called her, that is, Gehazi had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about this season, and there seems to be reason to believe that
the son that was born in the next year at the springtime. He said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. It was too big a promise for her to even believe. Isn't this interesting? She didn't get this promise because she had faith for it. She got this promise because she honored God by being kind to the man of God. And he just gave her something she couldn't even believe for yet. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elijah had said unto her, according to the time of life. I think the words time of life means gestational period. So it means somewhere around 9 months later. And when the child was grown, now this is an interesting phrase, when the child was grown. The child is definitely old enough that if you say, where does it hurt, son? He can tell you where it hurts. We don't really know how old he is, but the Bible says grown. He's also apparently large enough that the man of God could lay upon him and match body parts with him. When the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father, to the reapers, and he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat up on her knees until noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the donkeys, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It's neither new moon nor Sabbath. And help me remember in a few moments this phrase, new moon nor Sabbath. I want to talk to you a little bit about frequency. Frequency and locality and distance. And she said, she didn't say, our son is dead. She didn't panic. She didn't have faith earlier, but now she has faith. I don't believe these words are merely her being in denial. If she was in denial, she wouldn't have spilled the beans when she got to the man of God. She clearly grasps what's going on, but she speaks faith. She says, it shall be well. Then she saddled the donkey and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass when the man of God saw her afar off that he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her and say to her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? The child is laying home dead. And she answered. This is interesting. She wouldn't tell the problem to her husband. She wouldn't tell the problem to the protege of the prophet. She would only tell the problem to the prophet. She said to Gehazi, it is well. Much like this song that Sister Haley just sang. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me. Then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins and take my staff in thine hand and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not again. And lay my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother and the child said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them. Notice the very clear reference here to the different rates of speed and travel. We'll talk more about that in a minute. Gehazi passed on before them and laid his staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, the child is not awaked. And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth, his eyes upon his eyes, his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, "Call this Shunammite." So he called her. And when she was come in unto him, he said, "Take up thy son." Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. Let's pray. Lord, help us by your power as we glean precious nuggets of truth from your word. Quicken our hearts and strengthen us, Lord, in Jesus' name, I pray. And everyone said, amen. I did a little checking. It's amazing what you can do with Google. As I looked, I studied maps and I asked questions. I learned some things as I studied. I learned some things about donkeys. Now, I'm not an expert regarding equestrian and horses and donkeys and things, but I do at least understand that just like a person can walk or walk at a brisk rate or jog or sprint, run at a full out rate, so also can donkeys and horses. A horse and a donkey can walk. A horse and a donkey can gallop. But there's something in between the walking and the gallop, and it is referred to as trot. And one source that I pulled up said that a donkey, whereas a human being walking in a hurry to get across the street at a crossing will walk about 3 miles an hour, that a donkey while walking walks about 3 miles an hour. But a donkey at a full gallop can go much faster. But a donkey can't cover a lot of ground at a full gallop. It takes too much energy. The beast gets winded. But there's something in between the walk and the gallop, a trot. And at a trot, a donkey can move somewhere between 8 and 9 miles per hour. And the beast can sustain this rate for a very long time. So I got curious. How far away is the village of Shunem, which again, if you look on a map, the Sea of Galilee is up here, the Dead Sea is down here, somewhere just barely south and to the west of the Sea of Galilee is the village of Shunem. And around that same area is Mount Carmel, where the man of God would typically be in residence when he wasn't on his itinerant ministry trips. How far was it from Mount Carmel to the village of Shunem? And the maps and the documents that I got indicated that somewhere around 20 miles. Now, 20 miles doesn't sound like a lot to us today because we have bikes and motorcycles and scooters and cars and trucks and buses and friends who have those things if we don't have them. But those days, it was either your feet or the feet of like a donkey or a horse or something. So about 20 miles. So I started trying to get it framed in my head. The Bible says that he went out sometime in the morning. He had a terrible pain and he complained, "My head, my head." And the dad said, "Take him to the mom." The servant took him to the mom. Or employee, however you want to say it. And the scripture says he sat on his mom's lap until about noon, and then he died. So somewhere around noon, the boy dies. The Shunammite woman, the woman of Shunem, takes her dead son. She takes her dead promise. She takes her deceased miracle. She doesn't take him to the dad. She doesn't take him to the neighbor. She doesn't take him to the doctor. She takes him to the closest point of connection that she has to the man of God. Now, I just want to pause here and say, I have no ego in this. I have no ego in this. I say this not at all for my benefit. But if this woman had not showed such great kindness and such great hospitality for the man of God, there would have been no preacher bed to lay her miracle on. She would have had no contact point closer to her house than 20 miles away. But because she had expressed such kindness and such hospitality to the man of God, she had a contact point right attached to her own house. She didn't have to take her dead miracle far. Many things in life are wrapped up in frequency and locality. I'm getting amens from my amen corner. Thank you, Brother Mordecai, for the amens. By the way, out of our four wonderful and precious grandchildren, two of them have passed a specific point in maturity. Up until a certain age, if the child is hurting, they cannot tell you. And they cannot tell you where they are hurting. They cannot tell you what is wrong. And then they mature to a point where they can say, this is where I hurt. The other day, I had Mordecai with me. Anytime Mordecai is ever at our house, he wants to be where Pop-Pop is. It is all Pop-Pop all the time. And he particularly likes to be with Pop-Pop down in the basement where my workshop is. He knows how to turn things on and off, and he turns them on and off over and over. And he'll look at me and go, Pop-Pop, on. Click. Pop-Pop, off. Pop-Pop, on. And I go, yay, you did it. And he just, Pop-Pop, off. And if he gets bored with that, and if I'm not watching him real close, he likes to show off his skills of navigating stairs. And I realized, I was trying to work on something, I realized I'm not hearing pop, 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 pop. So I started looking for him, and he was already about two or three stairs up. We need to install a gate. We have a gate at the top. We need another gate at the bottom. And as I was trying to get to him, he lost his footing, lost his balance, and did a little tumble. And I caught him, and as I pulled him up, and he was saying, my head. This is only a few days ago. I don't know. Maybe the Lord used that to plant a seed in my brain for this message tonight. There's something about frequency and locality. The normal point of intersection between the believer and God and between the believer and the man of God is at the church services and wherever the church services are held. And there is a frequency to these. Sabbaths fell. There are several different kinds of Sabbath, but the most common kind is the weekly Sabbath. And so there was a weekly kind of a church service. And apparently, according to the response of her husband, this woman of Shunem was faithful to the church services. Now, this was in the days before the book of Acts. It was before the church had been birthed. We're talking about an Old Testament type of worship, but there was some type of gathering on new moons. There was some type of gathering and worship on Sabbaths. And apparently she would go, because when she asked her husband about going where the man of God was, he said, I don't understand why you're going now. It's not a new moon. It's not a Sabbath. Why are you going now? She had a faithful frequency in church attendance. So in addition to the hospitality and the hospitality room with the hospitality bed, the hospitality chair, the hospitality desk, the hospitality lamp or candle, in addition to all of that, she had an additional contact point with the man of God and with the God of the man of God at these frequent, regular worship gatherings. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Folks, if any generation before us said we feel close to the coming of the Lord, we must feel far closer than they did. And it means we need to be more faithful to church, not less faithful to church. It thrills my heart that you are here, and it breaks my heart that some are not. If you eat too much too fast, you get fat, and you can even cause your stomach to burst. If you eat too little with too infrequent in the feedings, you can lose weight and even starve to death. There is a right rate. There is a right frequency. There is an amount and a regularity of how much to eat in which you stay healthy and wonderful. You neither get skinny nor fat. You can tell by looking at me, I'm on this side of that ideal frequency. It's the same way with drinking water. There's a frequency. God has built a frequency. There is a sine wave. If you map out when the village of Shunem will get daylight and when it will get dark, there is a sine wave to the light and the darkness. There is a sine wave to the rotation of the earth. There is a sine wave to the earth's orbit about the sun. There is a sine wave to the moon's orbit around the earth. There is a sine wave to the ebb and flow of the tides. There is a sine wave. It is an up and down frequency pattern. That's S-I-N-E. It's a mathematical term, sine wave. So much of life is built into frequency. And when God has set up a way for you to have a frequent gathering at church, make that part of your life and keep that part of your life. And if you are able to find through hospitality and kindness ways to show love to the man of God and ways to show love to the elders and ways to show love to the other believers in the church, ways to express hospitality, you add additional points of contact that can help you when the bottom falls out and your world is turned upside down. It absolutely melts my heart when you bring me a loaf that you baked or a vegetable that you grew in your garden or gumbo that you made.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WKMZ-FM.
Amendment 1 will be on the ballot on Election Day. If passed by voters, Amendment 1 would put new language into the West Virginia State Constitution to protect all West Virginians from physician-assisted suicide, mercy killing, and euthanasia. In some states, including California and Oregon, those diagnosed with terminal illness can ask a doctor for a prescription for a poisonous blend of drugs to end their lives. Amendment 1 will prevent that sort of practice from coming here to West Virginia. All national groups that seek to protect disabled persons are opposed to physician-assisted suicide. The American Medical Association has stated that doctors helping people to kill themselves is fundamentally incompatible with the physician's role as healer. States that have legalized assisted suicide have seen overall suicide rates increase. Where it is legal, some insurance companies refuse to pay for treatments to cure or extend life, but agree to pay for assisted suicide, which is less costly. If there is a fear of pain at the end of life, good palliative care and hospice are ways to provide comfort and care until a person's life ends naturally. A vote for Amendment 1 will protect all West Virginians from doctor-assisted suicide. Please vote to keep West Virginia a state where all lives are valued and protected. This message brought to you by the West Virginia Alliance for Ethical Healthcare.